It's time now for Jesus is the Answer with Pastor Peter, coming to you from the International Christian Fellowship in Northeast Philadelphia. International Christian Fellowship is a Bible-believing church that preaches the uncompromised Word of God and prays for you and your needs. Pastor Peter is bringing the message of salvation, healing, and deliverance throughout the world. Now, here is Pastor Peter.
That's why he's saying you are thinking this, we are going to make the burial ground looking good. Some people do. Not only they will plant the tree and they will put the flowers. Every day some people go and cry. Okay.
Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because ye build the tombs of the prophets and garnish the sepulchres of the righteous, and say, if we had been in the days of our fathers, we would not have been partakers with them in the blood of the prophets.
Jesus Christ is saying, what you people are doing it, you making the tombs of the prophets and garnishing and making it better, for what? He's saying, you are thinking, oh, our forefathers killed those prophets, but if we were there, we would never do that. And you are trying to impress somebody that you love those people who are in a grave. But he's trying to say, you are hypocrites. Your life is not right. Your forefather did it, and you have the same spirit. Verse 30.
And say, if we had been in the days of our fathers, we would not have been partakers with them in the blood of the prophets.
So he said, you are trying to say, if we were there, we won't be doing this. But he's trying to tell these people what really in your heart is. Verse 31.
Wherefore ye be witnesses unto yourselves that ye are the children of them which killed the prophets. Fill ye up then the measure of your fathers. Ye serpents, ye generation of vipers, how can ye escape the damnation of hell? Wherefore, behold, I send unto you prophets and wise men and scribes, and some of them ye shall kill and crucify, and some of them ye shall scourge in your synagogues and persecute them from city to city.
Now, he's trying to say, you people are hypocrites, trying to show to other people that we are good people. And that's why you go into this burial grounds and decorating them and doing good things, showing that those prophets were good. But actually those prophets were killed. The Word of God says each and every prophet was killed by Israeli people. There is not a record that they did not kill anybody. Most of the prophets they killed. And so he's saying all these prophets were killed and you are their children, and you have the same mentality. That means just like we are coming from the Adam's family. So the Adam committed sin, so each and everybody is sinner. People are thinking, oh no, because Adam committed sin, we are not a sinner and we cannot get sin. I don't know, you know the story. One man was a servant to one missionary, and he was telling him a story that Adam committed sin, and that's why we are in this condition. So we have to come to Jesus. We have to ask forgiveness. He said, well, if I was there and Adam has everything to eat and everything, why he has to go and eat another fruit if he has some other fruit? I would never do it. And so I think he took one small parrot, put it in a cage and covered it. And he said, I'm going to go for a journey. Don't touch that. Here is the key. He gave the key. He said, don't open, don't touch that. You have all the food, everything you have, but don't touch that. And he forgot that story. And he did not do anything, but the man says, I'm going to come such and such a day. Now he said, before he comes, I want to see what it is there. So he just opened that, took that thing out, and just opened it, and the bird flew away. And then he covered everything and put it there just like he didn't do anything. But he was miserable. And the man came and he says, everything is okay, yeah, everything is fine. Why are you so miserable? Why you don't have peace? Why your countenance is different and something is wrong? Then he said, you know what? You told me that you gave me the key and everything and said, don't touch that thing. I didn't have any need of it, but in my spirit, I wanted to do that. So I did it. So he said, that's the way it is. Adam committed sin, and that nature is in you. And so that nature only will go away once you receive Jesus Christ. Then we have God's nature. So Jesus Christ is trying to tell these people, your forefather killed the prophets. And you are trying to say, oh, if we were there, we will never do that. But he says, God is sending the scribes, mean teachers, and the prophets, he's saying, but what you doing? You are chasing them from synagogue to synagogue and try to kill them and trying to scourge them and try to crucify them, persecuting them, not one place, city to city. What he was trying to say? He was trying to say, I'm the one of the prophet. You are always after me, city after city, wherever I go, any synagogue I go, you are coming and you are bothering me. And so you are the same children of your fathers. They did something wrong and you're doing something wrong. And he's trying to say, read the verse 35. He says, Abel was killed and so many prophets were killed.
That upon you may come all the righteous blood shed upon the earth, from the blood of righteous Abel unto the blood of Zacharias, son of Barachias, whom ye slew between the temple and the altar.
Now see, we learn that blood of Abel's is speaking. When you read in a book of Hebrews, he says, the blood of Abel's speaks, but the Jesus Christ's blood speaks better than the blood of Abel. And we learn that what is the blood of Abel is talking? Blood of Abel is talking revenge. And so he said, all the prophets were killed, and they're all asking revenge. Go to the Revelation chapter 6 and read from verse 9 to 11.
And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth?
Now see what they're asking. They're asking revenge. And so Abel is there, and all the prophets were killed. They're all under the altar. Their souls are asking revenge. Read the verse 11.
And white robes were given unto every one of them, and it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled.
Now what the word of God is saying, all the people who killed those prophets and killed those innocent people, their blood will be taken on those people, means the revenge is coming. So he's saying that revenge when God is taking, he will take the revenge on you people also. So that means you're not going to escape. Let's go back to the Matthew chapter 23, verse 36.
Verily I say unto you, all these things shall come upon this generation.
What do you mean? All these things means all the judgment will come on this generation. He's talking about the people who were with Jesus Christ and they persecuted him. And today also some people are still doing persecution to Christians around the world. All those people will be judged. Verse 37.
O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not.
This Jesus Christ said it, if you remember in Luke chapter 19 also, when we study the book, when he was coming and everybody was saying Hosanna and palm branches and everything, and they were very happy. And Jesus Christ didn't pay attention to those people. He looked at the Jerusalem and said, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you killed so many prophets. And many times I wanted to bring you under my wings like the chickens, but you didn't pay attention. And so he was prophesying the days are coming that you will have so much persecution. And if you remember when Pilate said, can I let him go? They said, no, crucify him, crucify him. Pilate said, I don't want his blood coming on me, and he washed his hand. You know what they said? Let his blood come on us and our children. And so this prophecy, what Jesus Christ was saying, is fulfilled. Verse 38.
Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. For I say unto you, ye shall not see me henceforth, till ye shall say, Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord.
Now see, this thing happened once, when Jesus Christ already said this, and Israeli people were scattered all around the world. Now they are coming together. But at the same time, the Word of God says, until Jesus Christ comes, still Israeli people will not be coming to Christ. Very few people are Christian in Israel today. Today I was listening, or yesterday, they say, I don't know, 2 or 3 million people, tourists, came to Israel this couple of months. 2-3 million people. They want people coming. They want people go and see all these things. But very few people want to see Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. They don't want Christianity in their country. But Jesus Christ is saying the day will be coming. They will be beating on their chest. They will be saying, we pierce you. O Messiah, please come. And he says, until that day, Jesus won't be coming for Israeli people. Now, many people are confused about the second coming of Christ. In second coming of Christ, there are two phases. One, he comes, takes his bride. Once the bride goes, then the 7 years of period is a tribulation. And many people do not believe that. But the 7 years of period, 3.5 years is a mild period. Because the Antichrist comes, makes the treaty with Israel for 7 years, 3.5 years, he doesn't do any harm to those people. And he tried to show his true color. And he tried to say, I'm your God, worship me or defile the temple. And then the Israeli people will come to know he's not our Messiah. He's not a good guy. And that's the time they start calling upon Jesus. And the Word of God says two witnesses will come. Book of Revelation chapter 11, we see these two witnesses. And when these two witnesses is witnessing, and they will be killed, their bodies will be not allowed to bury. But 3.5 days later, the voice came from heaven and say, come up hither. And so the point I'm making, when Jesus Christ comes in Revelation chapter 19, he comes, gets hold of this Antichrist and the false prophets, put them in the lake of fire, and then all these enemies will be killed. And then we start a 1,000-year reign. So the Word of God is saying, he will not come till he shall say, Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. And that is in Psalm 118, verse 26. So he says, you will be calling him, and that's the time Jesus Christ will be coming. And so what I was trying to say, people are confused about second coming. In the first coming, there is no date given. You will not know when he's coming. He says he'll come as a thief. But the second coming, it is not secret. He comes openly. Every eyes will see him. And he says, after the great tribulation, he comes. So that means it's everything set. So the second coming, when he's coming for Israeli people, that is openly he's coming. But he's coming for his bride secretly. That's why so many people, scholars, they don't believe in rapture. They don't believe the bride of Christ will be gone, because there are very few references that the church will be taken. Only we see in a book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and some others. But the date is not given, the time is not given. Book of Matthew chapter 24, starting from verse 1.
And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, See ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming, and of the end of the world?
Okay, now here we see, Jesus Christ saw this building many, many times. But this time, the disciples start showing him the building and asking him a question. The word of God said, disciple came unto him privately. And now this time, no Pharisees asking question, no Sadducees or lawyers or anybody asking questions. The disciples were concerned about Jesus Christ coming back and the end of the world. And so here we see they wanted a sign of his coming and the end of the world. This chapter you will read, most of the whole chapter is talking about his coming and sign of his coming after the tribulation. So many scholars, when they read this, they don't get the message, and they just believe that there won't be any rapture, because rapture is not in the Word of God. And so they don't believe that Jesus Christ is going to come secretly and take the bride, and then tribulation starting on this earth for 7 years, and end of the tribulation, Jesus Christ will come. Many people don't believe, and many scholars, they wrote so many books. But we are going to read, and I'm trying to explain to you both parts in this. And so as we read, let's read verse 4.
And Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake.
Now, here he says, all these things are the beginning of the sorrow. And so he said to them, the time is coming, you will see earthquake. Now, somebody did the studies. Earthquake in the beginning, they were very rare, like once in 5 years or once in 10 years. But now we see earthquake much more frequently. And famines are happening frequently. And so these are things are happening, and not only one place, he says, in diverse places. And so these are the signs. He already told them what's going to happen. But he said, all these things are the beginning of the sorrow. And then he said, the people will hate you. Some people are hating the Jewish people, and some people hate Christians. But in the beginning, when Jesus Christ went, and if you remember last week, we studied that how the disciples were testifying after Jesus Christ went. The Peter who was afraid of little girl, cheap priest servants, that same Peter stood there and said, you crucified my Christ. And so they testified, and we learned that last week. At that particular time, the persecution started for the Christians. And as you know that Paul was persecuting Christians, the word of God was given to them in book of Acts chapter 1 verse 8. You tarry here, receive the Holy Spirit, when the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and then you will be my witnesses starting from Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and uttermost part of the world. But he said, don't leave the Jerusalem. And so these people were waiting. The time was not given. Jesus Christ showed himself 40 days. After that, the last time he took them on the mountain, and he disappeared from their eyes. And angel came, two angels, in a book of Acts, chapter 1, verse 9 and 10, please read. And the angel told them, why are you gazing to the heaven? The same Jesus you saw going, his same Jesus will come in the clouds.
And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven.
After Jesus Christ went, and the disciples start preaching about Jesus Christ, at that particular time, there were not so many prophets came. But here he says, the prophets will rise and shall deceive many. Jesus Christ already warned these people, and they will be persecuting you. Go back to the Matthew and start reading from verse 12 and 13.
And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved.
Now here he already said, the persecution comes, and then people do not want to go to church, do not want to talk about God, and people are afraid of their life. But he said, whoever endures until the end, or hold on to the end, that's the person gets blessings. Let's go to the book of James chapter 1 verse 12, and book of Revelation chapter 2 verse 10.
Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him.
Who gets the reward? Endures the temptation. You have to pass your test. Then only you get the reward. Revelation 2:10.
Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried. And ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life.
So here also says you have to pass your test, and then you'll get the crown of life. Go to the Revelation chapter 14, verse 12 and 13.
Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Lord, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them.
Now, this can happen anytime, but especially this can happen in a time of tribulation. But this is happening today. I heard the other day, one preacher was preaching, and he said, there was a Hindu man came, and talked to some Christian people and found out one pastor and held him. And he says, you know, I'm going to cut you like we dress the chicken. And tomorrow I'm going to come. If I find you, I'm going to kill you. And so this man goes and talks to his boss, another pastor, and said, this is what this man told me. What should I do? He said, did God call you to go there? He said, yes. Then if God told you to go there, then God will protect you. And if that man comes and kills you, you'll go to heaven. So make your choice. This man was very scared. Finally, he said, I'm going to go back there. Next day, the man comes and he says, didn't I tell you if I see you next day, I'll kill you? He said, yes. I came here so you could kill me now. The man got confused. He said, what do you mean? I came here so you can kill me, so I can finish my job and I can go to heaven. And something happened. The man came to know that this is real man of God, and killing him is not going to do any good. And by the grace of God, he got saved, and all of his group people got saved. And today they have church in that area. So here the word of God is saying, we don't have to worry when trouble comes and trial comes and they want to kill us or destroy us. We will be going to heaven. No more pain, no more sorrow, no more work, and we will be having good time in the Lord. Let's go back to the Matthew chapter 24, verse 14.
And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come.
The gospel of the kingdom should be preached everywhere. Then shall be end come. And you know, so many people go into different parts of the world, translating English Bible to their language. Some of them are finding the new language and making the Bibles, and hundreds and thousands of languages are there, and gospel is preached. In time of Paul, they said, these people came, they made this world upside down. And some places, Paul said, now I have no more places to go where I'm going to go. And so they reached the world at that time. Everyone knew about Jesus Christ. And then we see in 18th century and 19th century, people went to all over the world and gospel was preached, and they thought Jesus Christ is coming very soon because they saw the rumors and wars and the World War I and World War II, and people were very excited that Jesus Christ is coming. And then what happened now? Everybody became cold. And 21st century generation, we see young people didn't go to church, do not read the Bible. Government is suppressing Bible, not in here, in Europe. And so we have to do all over again. The gospel has to preach all over again. Gospel was preached almost to the whole world. But now we have to go and do it all over again. There are so many people do not know about Christ. If you take a microphone and go and ask some people about Jesus or any other apostles' names or anything like that, they would not know. So God has still given us time. Now we have satellites, we have television, we have radios. The gospel is going around the world, and people do not have excuses anymore that they don't know the gospel. Because we read in the Word of God that the salvation has come to the whole world. But the whole world is not yet saved. And so it's our job to tell the people. The Word of God says, occupy what? Until I come. And so we cannot sit there and say, okay, the gospel is preached, the satellite doing it, radio doing it, and everybody's doing it, so I don't have to do anything. Each and every believer has a responsibility. You will be surprised. You may have a neighbor, and that neighbor doesn't know anything about Jesus Christ. He might be Muslim or Hindu, or might be doesn't believe in God. There was a one man, he met D.L. Moody, and D.L. Moody gave him the message of salvation. And this man was very excited. And he said, I have a neighbor pastor. He never told me about Jesus. So when he came back and talked to pastor, he says, sir, why you didn't tell me about Jesus? That man said, I thought if I tell you, you may not like me or you may not listen to the gospel. He says, if you didn't tell me, I would have gone to hell. So the point I'm making, it is our responsibility to talk to anybody because this is an appointed time. We should not let it go.
You've been listening to Jesus is the Answer with Pastor Peter of International Christian Fellowship in Northeast Philadelphia. If this program has been a blessing to you, please let Pastor Peter know. Write to Pastor Peter at Post Office Box 5033, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19111. Again, that's Pastor Peter, Box 5033, Philadelphia, PA, 19111. Pastor Peter and his prayer partners are taking your calls right now. The number is 215-342-3759. Again, that's 215-342-3759. You can also send email to icfprayerline@comcast.net. Every Sunday at 11 a.m., International Christian Fellowship has a worship service with communion and healing service. You can find more information at www.internationalchristianfellowship.org. This is a faith ministry. Your prayers and financial support are greatly appreciated. And please remember to tune in next time for Jesus is the Answer.